pop that to one side. Morning, everybody. Good to see you. Now, who's confident when it comes to talking to other people? Ian's confident, he says. Yeah, we know that. Who else? You're confident at talking to other people? No, no problem talking to other people? Not so sure now. Now that I put you on the spot, you're not so sure, are you? Yeah. Oh, Lisa's confident. Not sure. And I guess those of you who haven't answered, you're not very confident because you haven't answered me. Why don't we talk to people? Well, perhaps we're shy. There may be other reasons. Perhaps we're afraid of the other person. Perhaps we hold them in really high esteem and we're scared we might say something stupid. But what about talking to God? Are you confident about talking to God? Do you know who you're talking to when you pray? Do you actually talk to God very much at all? And what do you say to him? What's top of your list when you talk to God? You see, talking to God is prayer. Prayer is talking to God. Now Jesus had to teach his disciples how to pray. So if Jesus had to teach them how to pray, it's pretty sure that we too need to be taught how to pray. Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven." So when we pray, who are we talking to? Our Father in heaven. Yeah? Our Father in heaven. We're not just talking to God, whoever, whatever he or it may be. Actually, we're not really talking to Jesus. We're talking to our Father in heaven. And our Father, says Jesus, cares for his children. He loves his children. And he knows what his children need. Our Father listens to his children. And he forgives them when they do wrong things. This is the Father we talk to when we pray. But he is our Father in heaven. And we're in this world. And so, as Jesus says, we can't see him. He is our Father who is unseen. So how do we contact our Father? Well, when you want to contact someone who's unseen, you probably reach for your phone, don't you? That's what most of us do. And the problem is, however, what's God's number? Let's try this one. Let's try this one, see if it'll work. It's ringing somewhere. Oh no, it's just my work phone. No, that's no good, is it? No good calling myself. That's not going to help at all. So what is the number for our Father in heaven? I need 9 volunteers. 9 people to come and help me. Come on, just come up. We'll hopefully only get 9. What have we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think that's 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Perfect. Brilliant. Okay. Nice long line all the way along here. Nice long line. Let's move that out of the way so we can see you all. Nice straight line there. Okay, let's give you some numbers. Which one do we need? That's that way up. Right, let's start at this end. Here we are. There's a number for you. And one for you. And one for you. One for you. And a 9 for you. And a 1 for you. Thank you. And a 5 for you, and a 0 for you, and a 1 for you. Right, hold that nice and high, nice and high. Let's just check we've got God's number right here. 105192119. Very good. I'm being stupid, aren't I? We can't contact God by our mobile phone, can we? That's not what we do. So what am I on about? Can anybody guess? Anybody have a guess what this might signify? Hold them up so everyone can see them still. That's it. Anyone guess? Can you move down this way a little bit, and you move that way a little bit. That's it. You move just there, and you go nice and close there. So you two nice and close together. You two close together there. Bit of a gap for you. You two nice and close together. Yeah. Does that give anybody any clues as to what I might be on about here? No? Sorry? 10 years. No, not dates. Nothing to do with dates, no. What if the numbers could make letters? Anybody got any ideas? Go on, Elizabeth. I knew Elizabeth would have a good idea. Well, let's see, shall we? What is the 10th letter of the alphabet? Oh, have I left one behind, Phil? I've left me J behind. So drop those two and hold that one between you. And what's the 5th letter of the alphabet? There, you see, it's the answer to every Sunday school question, isn't it? And we already know the 19th. So drop those two down. Just hold that one. That's it, drop them down. And the 21st, can you hold that between you? Let's have it the right way up. Otherwise, it doesn't look right at all. Okay, and drop that one down. So, yeah, 19th letter of the alphabet is J, 21st is S, 5th is E, 21st is U, 19th is S. So hold on, nice and straight. There we are. How do we contact God? We don't phone him, we don't need a special number. We contact God through Jesus. That's his call number. That's how we contact him. Thank you very much. Drop them down the floor. Just leave them there and go and sit down. Thank you very much. But why? Why is Jesus the number, as it were, we need to dial to get through to God? Well, because we're told in the Bible that anyone who receives Jesus becomes a child of God. So if we're going to pray to our Father in heaven, we need to be his children. And it is in Jesus, as we come to Jesus, that we become his children. And as Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. So if we're going to pray, if we're going to talk to Jesus, to God, we have to do that by faith in Jesus, by trusting Jesus. So God's phone number is Jesus. That's how we get through to God. And the first thing that Jesus tells us to say to our Father is, hallowed be your name. Hallowed, that word you use every day. What does it mean? It means, as I pray, I ask that starting with me, because it's always starting with me when I'm praying these things, everyone would treat our Father as holy, hallowed, treating him as holy. But what does that mean? Well, let's share together in a prayer that will go the right way, that will tell us and tell our Father and ask our Father that his name will be treated as hallowed. Let me read it and then we'll read it together. Father in heaven, I adore and honor you. You are great and wonderful, marvelous and magnificent, lovely, truthful, perfect, just and loving. Please help me, my family, St. Peter's, and everyone in the whole world to treat you with the respect and honor you deserve. That's what hallowed be your name means. So let's talk to our Father in heaven as his children and let's say this prayer together now. Okay. Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name.
I adore and honor you. You are great and wonderful, marvelous and magnificent, lovely, truthful, perfect, just and loving. Please help me, my family, St. Peter's Church, and everyone around your world to honor your holy character. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, it's good to pray those words, but of course we can also sing them. Phil's going to introduce our next song. He's going to clear up the numbers on the floor first while I go across to the piano.
Okay, so we pray to our Father in heaven through Jesus. Why do we want to do that? Well, as we've heard, because of how wonderful he is, and we're going to sing about that now, he is sufficient and endlessly generous, magnificent, marvellous, matchless love is his. And we're going to, well, we've heard about it, we've prayed it, let's sing it now. Please stand.
Thanks, Marcus, very much indeed. Well, that reading has lots of long words and long sentences in it. That's how Paul often starts his letters. He liked long sentences and long words. So we need to think about what he means here. First of all, a question. What sorts of things do we often pray about? What sorts of things do we often pray about? Yeah? Let's shout, shout, shout. Helping others, yeah. Our health. Money. Yeah. Other people's health, yeah. To be kind, yeah. Very good, one more, yeah. Other people's joy, that's a good one. Yeah, like that. Really good thing to pray for. What are the sorts of things we often pray for? Well, let's have a look, shall we? Let's see some people up here. Other people's health. There you are, it's the first one I put up there. A job interview. Some of you I know have had those recently. Anxiety. I know some of you suffer from anxiety. We all do from time to time.
The weather.
Do you know, when I used to cycle to church when I was a teenager, I used to often pray that it wouldn't rain because I hate getting wet when I'm on my bike. Phil doesn't care. He arrived at my house the other day, absolutely sopping wet. But I hate getting wet when I'm cycling, and I used to pray that it would be fine, and it wasn't always fine, and then I suddenly realized that maybe other people praying that it would rain. So I stopped praying about that. Exams, maybe not this time of year so much, but there have been times, haven't there? And our kids, any parent will be praying for their kids. Please help my kids to do well at school. Help me to pass my exams and get to Oxford University. Please give me good weather on our holiday. Please take away my anxiety. Please help me to get this job I'm applying for. Please help Mum to get better. Help her doctors to treat her well. And it's great to pray about those things. After all, our Heavenly Father knows what we need and He cares for us. But, and it's a very big but, and it's a but that runs all the way through the Bible, we are encouraged to pray bigger prayers. So Paul's prayers are very often very different from the things that we pray about. For example, here in Colossians, he says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Now, we often think that knowing God's will means knowing what subjects we should take next year, or what we should study at university, or which house we should buy, or which church we should go to. Of course, God's interested in those things, but He's much more concerned with what kind of people we are than whether we're a nurse or a teacher or a plumber or an accountant. He's much more concerned with what kind of a person you are at school than whether you do maths or physics or geography or art. So that's why Paul prays that the Colossians, that the Christians, like us way back then, would have the knowledge of God's will, so we would know what to do in the little tiny things that come across us every day. How we treat our friends. How we respond in our hearts to God and to other people. So, who's got the Bible open still? I see Kate has, sitting here right in front of me. What does Paul pray for in verse 10? Glasses on, that's right, yeah, very good. Glasses on, verse 10, what does Paul pray for? Prays that he will fill them with, in verse 9, that God will fill them with wisdom and understanding so that, what? Who's going to be confident enough to speak? Thank you. We may live a life worthy of the Lord. That's the first thing he says. Do you see? It's not about whether we're a nurse or a doctor or whatever. It's live a life worthy of the Lord. What's the next thing? That we will please Jesus in every way. Yeah. In everything we do. That we will please Jesus. Whether we're studying maths or physics or chemistry or biology, it will please Jesus. And then, what's next? That's the last one. There's one before that one, Gordon. We'll come to that in just a second. Bear fruit. Yeah, bear fruit in every good work. So it's being fruitful people. That is, we will do things in the way that Jesus would do them. And finally, yes, Gordon, we grow in the knowledge of God. We'd understand Him better. So, that's what we're praying for one another. Whether we're a consultant surgeon or a care assistant, whether we're in year one or the head teacher, whether we're at home or jetting around the world, we pray that God would enable us to live lives that are worthy of Him. That please Jesus in every way. So, what are you doing this afternoon? Watching the rugby, perhaps? Or, I don't think there'll be many people going for a walk, although Debbie will probably go for a walk, even if it is raining. She's already done that once today. Other things to do? Well, let's pray that whatever we're doing, playing with the children, whatever it is we're doing, we'll do it in a manner worthy of the Lord. And then we pray that as we work, our lives will bear good fruit. Not manky, rotten fruit and not no fruit at all, but good fruit. So we're praying for love and patience when it's we've tried. Gentleness when someone's pushing us. Kindness when there's washing up to do. Self-control when we're angry. And of course, living to please God, well, it takes a lifetime, doesn't it? It takes a lifetime. We grow in our ability to please God and produce good fruit. So, tell me, how long would it take Usain Bolt to run 100 metres? 9 point something, you're quite right. 9.58 seconds. How long would it take someone to the world record holder to run 10 kilometres? Give or take. Have a guess. 13 minutes. Well, a little way before we get to that record, I think. It's 29 minutes and 43 seconds if you're Jocelyn Jepkoski. Jepkoski. I can't pronounce it. And what about a marathon? How long to run a marathon? If you're a woman. For a woman. No, they've beaten 3 hours a long time ago. 2 hours and 14 minutes, believe it or not, if you're Brigitte Kosgei. But you know, a whole marathon, that's not even half a day. Not even half a day. Living to please God is every minute of every hour of every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, for every year that God gives us to live on this planet. Much longer than running a marathon, much harder than running a marathon. And so we pray that God would strengthen us with all power to give us endurance and patience so that we can be joyful and give thanks to Him all through our lives. We really do need God's strength for that, don't we? Running a marathon, no problem. Do it this afternoon. But living to please God, that'll take me the rest of my life. Much harder. I need God's strength, His endurance and patience to keep going and to be joyful as I run. But it's hard, isn't it, to be joyful and thankful when we're worried or upset or lonely or ill. So Paul gives us some good reasons to be joyful and thankful. And this is where the words get a bit long. Bear with us. God has qualified us to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. In other words, we are His people. We're His. We belong to Him. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In other words, God has rescued us from that horrible way of living as non-Christians and brought us into His wonderful kingdom where we are His children. We live now as His children, forgiven people, adopted people, freed people to live as His children. And that's why we can be joyful and thankful. Jesus has qualified us. Do you notice that? Jesus has sat the exam for us. He passed with flying colours. A star. 10 out of 10. And now we are qualified to be His forgiven people. So when we pray, when you pray, pray less about the circumstances of life. What you will do, where you will go, your health, your wealth, your whatever. And more about the response in your heart, that you would be patient and kind and self-controlled and loving, that you would endure. And not only you, but the other people around you as well. So we pray less for an easy life and more for a fruitful life. Less for our own comfort and more that we'll please Jesus. That's what we pray about. And that's what we're going to pray about now. Because Phil and Lucy and the family are going to lead us in our prayers. So, over to you, Phil.